What are you sending away, my friend? Today we shall go into the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I shall read to you, beginning with verse 44, and it says, And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So you know now, my friend, we're in the great story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. Continuing, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination now on the declaration of thy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. I shall lift out the 46th verse today, which is, And when he had sent them, that is, when he had sent the multitude away, he departed into a mountain to pray. We want to notice here that Jesus prayed, that Jesus prayed often, that Jesus prayed hard, that Jesus prayed long. Now, I'm not here to manage your personal prayer life. I'm not here to tell you how long you ought to pray, how often you ought to pray, or how you ought to pray. That is between you and God. But one thing is certain that I must tell you, and it is that you ought to pray, and that you will never get to have a prayer life unless you learn to send something away every time you come to meet with God alone. There are always so many things that are calling us, so that prayer, for many of us, too often gets shoved to the bottom of the list. Unless you settle this issue once for all, that prayer will always have to be the first thing of the day, my friend, and that everything else that presses upon you will have to be sent away. So that praying is done, you will not become a praying and a victorious Christian. Now, set a time and settle it between you and God, how much you ought to pray, and then where you ought to pray, and then do it. For some of you, it'll be an hour in the morning. For some, 2 hours. For some, 4 hours. For some, it will be half an hour. That's between you and God. But Jesus sent a multitude away, and he went into a mountain to pray. Now, the Lord told me about how long and how much to pray 30 years ago, and I've been doing it now for 30 years. It's been a wonderful journey. But on top of these regular times of prayer, I want you to know I have special times of prayer, additional times of prayer, when I have a burden for someone or a situation. I meet with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gets me into his bridal chamber for a love feast in the middle of the night, and then I have some time with him there. At other times, I meet for special times of refreshing with the Lord, or he'll give me divine revelations about certain things that get me into prayer. To get back to the text, Jesus went into a mountain to pray. We are called to pray. We're all called to be prayer warriors, priests, intercessors. I want to take you to the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus at this point. There it says in its 6th verse, it is God speaking through Moses to the people of Israel, And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. So when God founded the nation of Israel in the wilderness, he told them his intentions for them. His primary intention for these people were two things, and the one is for all of them, for every one of them, to become a priest, to become a prayer warrior, from the youngest to the oldest, every one of them, so they might become a holy nation. There never had been, up to this point, a nation in the world that was praying, a praying nation. God had a dream of a praying nation, that the whole world would be able to see what he could do for a praying people. And so he wanted people to pray, whether they were 5 years old, or 10, or 20, or 90. He said, "Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." It was not a request, but it was an order. That was God's plan A. It was later on that God, because Israel failed to be a praying people, then he anointed priests and Levites in a special way to engage themselves in the praying business. It is from God's plan B. This plan I mentioned, that people have this idea that we're not all called to pray. I'm a doctor, I'm a truck driver, I'm a housewife, I'm an engineer, I'm a school teacher, and I don't have the time to pray. I'm not called to pray. That's for those other people who have the time to do it. Friends, that's plan B. Plan A was that God wanted all his people, all of them, no matter what their occupation would be, to be a praying people and a holy people. How many times has man failed in plan A, that God had to come up with plan B? I remember the story of the Pharisees as they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, Moses allowed us to divorce our wives when we were not happy with them." But Jesus said unto them, "That was only because of the hardness of your hearts." And then Jesus took them back to plan A, to the book of Genesis. He said, "In the beginning it was not so. It was that a man should cleave unto his wife and not leave her." That's plan A. So there is plan A and there is plan B. You're called to pray. I'm called to pray. We're all called to pray. I can tell you what will happen when we get the vision of praying, all of us. I have an acquaintance of mine. His name is Dr. Wesley Duell. He was a missionary to China for 25 years and also president of a missionary organization for some time. His young mother, when she had her children, was a praying mother. She knew she was called to be part of the holy priesthood, and she would weep every day. She would weep every day over China, over the lost people in China. Well, when Wesley was 5 years of age, one day he walked out of the sandbox and said, "Mother, God has just called me to be a missionary to India, and I want you to go with me." As it turned out, this man, Wesley Duell, was the first one out of his missionary organization to go to India to preach the gospel there. Oh, what would happen if people would stop saying, "I'm not called to pray," and simply take on the call of God to do it. Pray. So now, how does that China story get in here? Well, later in his life, the mother's prayer for China was answered to her son, Wesley. Wesley got to be a tremendous writer, and now hundreds of thousands of his booklets and books are in China, saving the lost and teaching them how to walk with God. Let's see what Jesus said about whether praying is just for a few or for all of us. This takes us to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Here it says, "And he," that is Jesus, "spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Are you getting it? The word "men" is used in the generic sense. It means that all men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we have the teaching of Exodus and the Old Testament through Moses. We have the teaching of Jesus. That means all of us need to pray, and pray much, and pray always. And then we have the teaching of the apostles. For that we go to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. And there the apostle says, who was with Jesus for 3 years, he says to the Christians, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." There you have it again. He says, you, every one of you Christians, is called to the royal priesthood and holy nation to be a peculiar people. Yea, ye here means the new covenant people, those washed by the blood and cleansed by the fountain. These new covenant people are the church. God's desire has been to have a whole nation of prayer, and that failed. Now, in the New Testament covenant, he tries again to have a whole nation of prayer, and the whole nation of prayer in this case, under the New Covenant, is the church. And the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means the called out ones, those who are called out of sin, out of the world, out of the lust of the world, and they are called out to pray, to change the world. I'm afraid that God is as disappointed with the church today when it comes to prayer as he was with the children of Israel in days of old. Oh, and one reason, my friends, is we have too many Plan B preachers. The average American pastor prays 15 minutes a day. He's a Plan B preacher. We need Plan A preachers. God called me at 27 years of age to preach the gospel, and he called me to be a Plan A preacher. Now, prayer can be broken up into three main units. The first one is praise, the second is intercession, and the third one is waiting upon God. Let's talk about praise. In praise, you focus entirely on God as to who God is and to what God has done. Begin every day by reading the Word of God, by praising Him. And if you have trouble in focusing on God, on what He's done, take a praise psalm or take a hymn of praise and sing it or read it. In other words, if you cannot form your own words of praise, use the words of someone else and lift those praises to the Lord. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of Israel. When you begin to praise the Lord, my friend, God gets right in there with you, and something is going to happen to you, and certainly God will be blessed as well. The second part of prayer is intercession. Unfortunately, this part is left out by many churches today who want to be praise cathedrals or have a praise ministry where people come together and praise God together with loud music and all those emotions, making them all feel good. But where is the intercession? Where is the intercession, my friend? If there's not an equal or similar amount of intercession, we're out of balance, and praise becomes nothing then an exercise of self-indulgence to make us, yes, feel good, without accomplishing anything in the world to make it a better place to live in. Jesus' high priestly prayer was primarily a prayer of intercession. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer of intercession. In intercession, you pray for the needs about you, the needs of the church, the needs of the world, and you bring them before the Lord. Again, it's wise to make a prayer list, that you will not get sidetracked or get into daydreaming. Make a list of all names of the church people and pray for them in sections. Or if you have a small church, pray for all of them every day or a few times a week. Put on the president also. Put the leaders of the nations on there. And put on the persecuted Christians who suffer throughout the world and the unsaved and so forth. The third part of praying is waiting upon God. Our text today says Jesus sent a multitude away and went into a mountain to pray. And he exercised, I believe, all three parts of prayer, praise, intercession, and waiting upon God. We become quiet before the Lord. We're waiting for his direction so that we'll be led by the Spirit, so that we'll say the right things at the right time and be at the right place. Waiting upon God is as important to us as breathing is to the body. If we cannot discern the will of God, we miss it all. And that's done in waiting upon God. So, my dear friends, let's close this message. It says that when he, that is Jesus, had sent away the multitude, he departed into a mountain to pray. For you to do what God wants you to do, that is to pray, you also need to send something away every single morning. Let prayer be the priority of every day, because it is your highest and holiest calling in life. Goodbye now, until next week.